in this moment as you choose. And Lord, please let my life, let it praise you. We're asking for clarity of thought, clarity of speech. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, speak through us, and speak to all those that will have an ear to hear what your spirit has to say to the church. And God, most of all, help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. We count it as done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This is Family and Friends Day again. So welcome and thank you, family and friends that are here, and for those that are connecting with us on our online campus. Amen. All right. We believe we have a message from the Lord today. If not, we're all in trouble. Amen. And me most of all. Amen. Romans, in the third chapter of Romans, there's a verse there that is quite familiar to most of us who were in Sunday school or in church at one time or another, and we can almost quote it in the King James Version. As it's in that third chapter of Romans, and verse number 23, where it says, all have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Paul so clearly brings out the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know from reading the biblical record that that was the condition of all mankind after the fall. That was the condition of all mankind after the fall of Adam, when he disobeyed the command that God gave that put the whole human race under the condemnation of sin and under the wrath of God. But thank God that Jesus came to get us out of that terrible, eternal predicament. And it was because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, that all human beings can be justified. And that's where I wanted to start this morning. In Romans, I want to start at verse number 24 of that same third chapter. And you all are well aware that I have the Amplified Classic version of the Bible, but you can follow along in whatever version that you have. Here it is. Verse number 24 of Romans 3, Amplified Classic, says, all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by his grace, his unmerited favor and mercy through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. I want to talk briefly this morning just from the thought reconciled, redeemed, and recovered. Reconciled, redeemed, and recovered. All are justified, Paul said. And he explains, he unpacks what this justification really means. All are made upright and in right standing with God. That's something to think about. To be put in right standing with a holy God. Huh? Because the previous verse said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Paul reveals and enlightens us to the grace and the mercy of God. In the very next verse, all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God. And nobody had to force God to do this. He said, freely and gratuitously by his grace. I'm thankful for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and mercy. And the grace of God has been revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ. And it said, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Because the Bible lets us know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And all those Old Testament sacrifices of the bulls and the goats and the lambs and the turtle doves, all those were pointing to who John pointed out, behold the Lamb of God that come to take away the sin of the world. So redemption is only provided in Jesus Christ. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 25, whom God put forth before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation. I remember the songs that were taught to me when I first came here in 1985. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? And it is the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses us from our sin. It's the life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. We have to put our faith in what Jesus Christ has already done and secured for all mankind, because we know that the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. And I'm thankful that God has allowed us to put our faith in Jesus Christ. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, watch what he did. He passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. I don't know about you, but I was not saved all my life. I did some terrible things when I was lost in sin. And newsflash, so did you. But thank God, he has passed over and ignored former sins. Aren't you glad that God has passed over and ignored your former sins without punishment? The one who took the punishment for all of our sins is Jesus Christ. He was the one that went to the cross for all mankind. The Bible goes on to say it was to demonstrate and prove at the present time in the now season that he himself is righteous and that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has, watch now, true faith in Jesus. See, we have to have true faith in Jesus. And those of us who are recipients, those of us who have already received the promise of God, those of us who have already repented of our sins and been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, those of us who have been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, he justifies and accepts us as righteous because we put our true faith in Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people in today's society that are claiming to be Christians, but they have not put their true faith in Jesus Christ. I forgot to tell you to share, so take out your phones and share if you will. But we have to make sure that our true faith is in Jesus Christ. And we know that the Bible declares that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is important for those of us who have been reconciled. It is important for those of us who have our sins forgiven. It is important for those of us who have went down in Jesus' name and received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. We have a commission to go and make disciples. We have to let the world know. Listen, and people are dying around us every single day. Over 250,000 people on this planet die every day. And how many of them will enter into eternity without having true faith in Jesus Christ? It is important for us who have been reconciled that we have to operate in the ministry that God has given each and every one of us who have been born again of the water and of the Spirit. The Bible says that we have the ministry of reconciliation. You don't have to wait for a title. You don't have to wait for a degree. If you've been born again according to the Scriptures, then you have been reconciled by God. In fact, you have been reconciled by Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, you've been reconciled unto God. And the old things, your old life, your old way of thinking has passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And God has given each and every one of us a mandate. And what is the mandate? Operate in the ministry of reconciliation. We should spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans the 5th chapter, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and giving a right standing with God. I'm so glad that I'm justified through faith. Let us grasp the fact. This is not a proposal or an idea. It is a fact. We believe that every word of God is true, and he is a shield and a buckler to them that put their trust in him. Paul continues, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and enjoy. We are the children of God. We are the ones that have the peace of reconciliation. And that peace of God, it passes all understanding. That peace of God takes away a certain level of stress. So if I'm feeling pain in my body, listen, I don't have to panic. I don't have to throw in the towel. Why? Because I have the peace of reconciliation to hold on to and to enjoy. We have peace with God, Paul says, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Because we put our faith in Jesus, we can hold on to the promise. Because we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and because we have received the promise of the Holy Ghost, we can face anything. Anything that comes our way, it has to get permission from God himself. And God has already told us that he'll never leave us, neither will he forsake us. And the Bible also admonishes us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It also comes along and encourages us that we can do all things through Christ that gives us the strength. So we can stand in the face of trials. We can stand in the face of temptations. We can stand even in the face of pain and disappointments and being misunderstood by people. We can still stand and hold on to and enjoy the peace of reconciliation. Listen, we can lay down at night and sleep in peace. And if God chooses to transform us in our sleep, when we wake up, we're going to still wake up with peace, because we're going to wake up in the presence of our great God. The Bible goes on to say that through him, through Jesus, also we have our access. We got an entrance. We got an introduction by faith into this grace. Glory, hallelujah, this state of God's favor. Listen, favor ain't fair, but it's God's favor anyway, in which, watch now, we firmly and safely stand. We are not standing on shaky ground. I remember y'all taught me a song years ago that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean. That means I'm putting my whole weight behind it. I'm putting everything I am behind it. I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Here it is, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. So Paul comes and reminds us that we got access. We got an entrance. We got an introduction by faith. Listen, that's why it's so important for us to walk in faith. We have to keep our faith firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have an entrance by faith into this grace. Yes, the grace of God has appeared unto all men, but we got to have our faith in this grace, in this state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. Yes, I'm standing firmly. Yes, we're standing firmly, and we're safely standing in God's favor. God, I know I don't deserve your favor, because I'm reminded of what the Bible says, that if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? But God, you place me because we're in Jesus, and because Jesus is in us, he placed us in a safe place. Glory, hallelujah. So whatever comes, a storm may come and fire may come, but we're standing in the safe place. Where are we standing? We're standing in Jesus, because we put our faith in what he has done. And since we're standing firmly and safely, Paul continues, and let us rejoice. Listen, we should be the happiest people on the face of the planet when we realize who we're in and who is in us. We shall rejoice. And not only will we rejoice, and do we rejoice, Paul said, let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. So while I'm going through, and while you're going through, and while you're going through, you're not going through alone. And since we believe God's word, we can even rejoice while we're going through. We can rejoice while we're being tempted, tested, and tried. See, the world don't understand that. Yes, we're dealing with some things on this planet and in our cities and some in our lives that we have never dealt with before. I know we got a shock when we got that gas bill. Oh, glory, hallelujah. They done went up on the gas, but that's all right. I thank God that he provides for me and I'm able to pay it. Glory, hallelujah. And look at God moving on behalf of us, his people. The gas company said, we ain't gonna shut you off. Glory, hallelujah. Since when did a big corporation that was in power to flip a switch and cut you off? But the gas company declared, we ain't cutting nobody off. Pay us what you can, when you can. Now, if that's not favor, I don't know what is. Glory, hallelujah. So I'm not going to complain about inflation. I'm not going to complain about prices going up, because I believe what God's word said. And he said that my God shall supply all of our need according to your riches and glory. That's why we got to keep our faith in him. Oh, God, you got to help me here this morning. I believe David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed baking bread. So God, yes, I will rejoice and I will exalt in the great God of my salvation, because I got hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Not only when I get over there, but I'm experiencing God's glory. I'm experiencing God's grace even on this side of eternity. So Paul continued, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Wait a minute, you don't know what I'm going through. Listen, I don't have to know the intricate details of what you're going through, but what I will rejoice in is the very fact that you're going through it. You're not gonna get stuck in there. You're going through it. God's gonna bring us out on the other side. God's gonna bring us out for his glory. Cast not away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. You got need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hold on. God said he'll never leave us. He said he'd never forsake us. And since God is not a man that he can lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, I'm standing on what God has declared. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Y'all taught me another song. Don't wait till the battle is over. You can shout now. What are you shouting about? Look like all kind of things is coming against you. So why you have the nerve and the strength and the faith to shout? I'm shouting because I know how it's going to end. I'm shouting because God is the same God on the mountain as he is in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God didn't leave me alone in the valley. He's right there in the valley with me. Glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. We've been reconciled, y'all. We've been reconciled. The Bible says, moreover, let us also be full of joy. Now, see, the world and the enemy don't understand that. When we can be in tests and when we can be in trials and still be joyful. Oh, they don't understand that. I don't know why all these songs is coming up in my head, but this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world sure can't take it away. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph. Watch now. In our troubles. Oh, glory. You mean that you got to have faith to do this. In our troubles, rejoice and triumph in our troubles, and rejoice in our sufferings. Oh, glory. What kind of mind do you got to have to rejoice in trials, to rejoice in suffering? You already got it if you got the Holy Ghost. You got the mind of Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. So he says, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. We got to go through something, y'all. This ain't gonna be no cakewalk. We're not coming through here on flowery beds of ease. And endurance, the Bible says, fortitude develops maturity of character. So remember, I told us a long time ago that sometimes trouble is good. Sometimes trouble is a tool that God will use to mature us. Approved faith and tried integrity and character of this sort produces the habit
of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Can I just go back a few years when I had a drug habit? Can I go back a few years when I was an alcoholic? It was a habit. That means I allowed myself to get into a pattern of thinking that I needed to get high. And I wasn't right until I got high. So after I tried it the first time, oh, Lord, I'm telling the truth, I enjoyed it. Yeah, you come on. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the buzz. I enjoyed the high. The first time I drank, it was a little strong, so I had to get my body used to it, so I had to cut it down with a little something. And then after a while, I cut out the cut, and I was able to drink it straight. What do you mean? Because I kept on doing it. I kept on doing it, and it became a habit. But God, He saved my soul, and He gave me a brand new habit. I ain't worried about no crack, cause I got the solid rock, and that rock is Jesus. I don't have to worry about Wild Irish Rose. Oh, glory. That's some gutter liquor, y'all. Y'all might not know about that. I don't have to worry about Johnny Walker. Glory. Hallelujah. I ain't got to drink another Black Russian, if you will. I ain't got to worry about Hennessy no more. I don't have to get a 40. Glory, hallelujah. Because God done gave me a taste of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is better than all the alcohol consumption, because I'd rather be drunk with the Holy Ghost than drunk with that man-made artificial panacea. Because after you come down from your high, after you sober up from your drinking, you still got your sins to deal with. And when you look at the misery of a sinful life, it's going to cause you to go back to that bottle. It's going to cause you to go back to that weed. Yeah, I know it's legal now. Air quotes, y'all. It's legal, but I don't need nothing in my system that would cloud my mind. I need to be sober. I need to be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So don't pass me no blunt. I don't need that junk anymore. I got Jesus, and that's enough. Lord, I didn't even get to the second part. I didn't even get to redeem yet. I'm still on reconcile. Listen, it's a joyful thing to know that all your sins, glory to God, has been forgiven. Oh, glory. And your slate has been wiped clean, and they can't find anything on your record. You might go back to your block. You might go back to your neighborhood. And if some of my homies are still alive, when we used to rob folks, and if I go back to New York this year, Lord willing, in the summertime, and go back to the old hood and see the boys I used to run with, they would say, man, you remember when we, yeah, that's what we used to do. But let me tell you who I am now. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and if God gives me the strength, I want to pull you off the corner. Glory, hallelujah. I want to retire you from being a stick-up kid like we were. See, we got to tell the truth, and we got to let people know and let them see that Jesus does save. And God, since God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, God just might send you back to some of your homeboys. God just might send you back to one of your road dogs and say, this is the one that you need to witness to. Because they would, you all was thick as thieves. And when they see what God has done for you, then they will be able to say, God is real and Jesus saves, and I want the God that you have. That's what the ministry of reconciliation is. We reconcile people back unto God because we don't want to see them lost. Such hope. I got to let y'all go. Maybe next week I'll get into redeemed. I don't know. Whatever the Lord so, whatever the Lord says. But I wanted to put this thought in our hearts so we can appreciate this great salvation. We've been reconciled to God. Everybody can't say that. Not that we earned anything. Because if God would have gave us what we deserve, wouldn't nobody be in here. Huh? But we've been reconciled. Oh, put in right standing with God. Me with my 13 felonies. Me with looking at 25 years in prison. God just said, okay, no, I'm going to let him do 3 months. and then get him out. That was grace right there. Huh? Looking at 25 years in Leavenworth, y'all. And God said, okay, 3 months. You served long enough. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the bad part of the good story is, after he let me out, I still didn't change. Look at the mercy and grace of God. Get us out of a jam, and then this is what we do. Woo, I got out of that one. I'm gonna chill for a while, and then I'm going back to the block. You know, I'm gonna lay, you know, it's hot right now, so I'm gonna lay low for a bit. I'm gonna lay in the cut for a while. You know, but I still didn't do no better. I went to Georgia and got locked up in Georgia. Lord have mercy. God favored me then. I knew I had to get out of Georgia. So God let me get out of Georgia. I went to New York. Gotten in a little trouble in New York. Y'all, oh Lord. Y'all said trouble don't last always. That's what y'all said, huh? But I was sure trying to make it last. It looked like it. But then I got a ticket. I lied to the people. I was in a shelter in Manhattan. And I lied to the people because they let me work and save my money and stack my money to get an apartment. I was in the program, Dr. Benton. I was in the program. And they let me work and save my money. So I told them I found an apartment. Big lie. And I need my money to put down on the apartment. He said, okay, how much you need? I said, give me all of it. I ain't had no apartment. I went out and got drunk. But I bought me, here's the sinful mind thinking. I bought me a bus ticket before I spent all my money getting drunk. I bought me a bus ticket to California, to Los Angeles. Here's my sinful, carnal nature reasoning. I said, well, because I was homeless in New York. I said, well, if I'm homeless out here, don't nobody know me. See, the devil can play with your mind. And it's warmer out here. I won't freeze to death. So what did I do? Got that bus ticket and travel on bus with the clothes on my back and about $50. In my pocket. That ain't nothing for an alcoholic. That's just like being broke.
But I thought that I was running away from my troubles, but my troubles were on that bus with me. Yeah, I bought the ticket, but my troubles rode for free. And I got off that bus April 17th, 1984. And I got me a little job. And was staying at Skid Row Hotels. Well, first I was like sleeping on the streets. I got me a little job staying on Skid Row Hotels. And God, I believe it was God, allowed me to meet my dear wife. We didn't meet in church. We met in a bar. Yeah, what'd you say, Scooby? Yes. We met in a bar called Torches. That's a good place for people that's going to hell, huh? It was rightly named. We met in a bar called Torches. The Lakers was playing the Celtics. And she was with another fella. The Lord have mercy. I'm just talking about, I appreciate my reconciliation. She was with another fella. And you know, being from Brooklyn, we don't step to nobody if they're with somebody. We don't play that. So I was cool, but I had my eye on her though. And so I was working. Just bear with me, please. But if you gotta go, you can go. I'm gonna feel bad. Cause I know the football game coming on, but that's not till 12, so we're all right. I was working for a Korean gentleman on Broadway between 5th and 6th. I was living in a Skid Row hotel, and Marilyn was working at the LA Athletic Club, and she would pass by while I was cutting them keys. I was a key cutter, amongst other things, because we was ripping people off. See, I was insane, you know, and I speak a little Spanish, and I speak Korean, because I spent 2.5 years in South Korea. So the guy was Korean. So like, let's say you wanted to buy something, right? And you said, how much is this? How much are these flowers? And I asked the Korean guy, how much should we sell them to you for? And he would tell me. And I tell you, oh, you're getting a good deal, but we're ripping you off all the time. I was the best worker he had. Yeah, but anyway, I would see Marilyn walking by as I was cutting them keys, and I was like, okay. So one day, I was on my way home to my Skid Row hotel, and I had to use the restroom, and I went to the bar, Torches. I went to the bar, and she was sitting up at the bar, but this time, she was by herself. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So, after I come out the restroom, I walked up to her and I said, do you mind if I sit here? She said, no. From that time until now, we've been together. But the good news of the whole story is that her sister witnessed to me, Mary. And when she witnessed to me, I said, okay, that's it. I'm tired of running from God. I said, I need to be saved. She witnessed to me on a Monday. And at that time, we had Bible study on Adams on Wednesdays. And Tuesday was the most dreadful day of my life, because I was so convinced that I needed saving that anytime a car backfired, I was looking up. Because I just felt God's going to come back and catch me out here. That's how I felt. Huh? When you get convicted that you need to be saved, listen, you through. I couldn't wait for Wednesday to come. I couldn't wait. I had no car.
They had no coins, but I rode that 37 bus. And that 37 bus let us out on Anderson Alton by the school. I walked in that church. Elder Fitzpatrick was up doing something. I said, hold on. Who is this? To my hold on. I said, I want to be saved. See, listen, when you want to be saved, you can interrupt the order of the service. If you want to really be reconciled and put true faith in God, it's not really important about the liturgy or the order of the service. I said, I want to be saved. And he said, yeah, he asked me a good question. He said, why? Because sometimes people push people. I said, I'm tired of running from God, and I know I need to be saved. He said, all right, I was just checking. He baptized me in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And we went downstairs to the old classroom. I think it was the second or the third classroom. They had the clock on the wall. Yeah, we went downstairs. Sister Markham, Elder Fitzpatrick, and Sister Victorina Collins told me about the Holy Ghost. You know what I did? Now, I ain't had no chips to bargain with God at all. But I just said, Lord, I ain't leaving here without the Holy Ghost. I said, if I got to die, I ain't going nowhere. They showed me in the scripture about the Holy Ghost. I couldn't put two scriptures together, but I believed what they told me. And I don't know how long it was, because it really wasn't important, because I wasn't leaving nowhere. But down came the Holy Ghost, and I was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. Now, I like languages. You know, because a part of my criminal activity was the use of the Korean language. I was heavy in the Korean black market. Don't worry. Statutes of limitations are gone, so don't worry about it. So I would use the Korean language to manipulate the black market. And when I was in Korea, I connected with some guys from Saudi Arabia, so I knew a few Arabic words in Spanish. But when the Holy Ghost came, it wasn't none of them. it was something that I didn't recognize and I didn't know. That was God. And that's when I became reconciled. All of us have similar testimonies, but we need to rejoice in the fact that we've been reconciled to God through true faith in Jesus Christ. So if there's somebody here and you want to be reconciled to God, do you know that you can receive the Holy Ghost right now? We got to be biblically clear and correct. The only people, and check me out, research it, that Jesus told to tarry for the Holy Ghost was the 10 days. He said, but tarry in Jerusalem. That was it. Because when the day of Pentecost had fully come, then the Holy Ghost came. So this really, watch now, I'm driving off of the freeway of tradition and moving to the exit of biblical clarity, if you allow me. So the only ones that really had to tarry was when it was first given out. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem. Well, what kind of biblical proof do you have? All right, follow me to Macedonia, if you will, for a moment. And go, let's knock on Cornelius' door. C-
Cornelius, y'all in there? Yeah, we here. When Peter came and preached to them, they didn't tarry. Huh? When they heard the word, they believed it, and down came the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, help us. Help us in this day and time to move off the freeway of religious tradition and move to biblical clarity. You can get the Holy Ghost just by believing and receiving. But it's true faith in Jesus. All right, I'm gonna stop. I'll give you time to give you time to put that, like I normally say,